sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
I'm with this. I'm just gonna sit back here, lay back to this nice mellow beat, you know, and drop some smooth lyrics. Cause 88, time to set it straight. Know what I'm saying? Ain't no half stepping. Word. I'm ready. Rapper stepping to me. They wanna get some. But yeah, it's not that kind. Sorry. Can't do that. No disrespect. So what I can say is welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. B.Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. I should write this shit down. Sorry, the little giggle is, again, for you returning listeners, you can tell that I fucked up the intro, but for you new listeners, you had no idea, but doesn't matter. That's how I do my show. It's my podcast. That's how I do my show, by letting you know when I fuck up. All right, keep it going. Before I start the show, I want to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red, blue flag. What does that mean? Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. Just in case Ontario and Quebec are in Canada. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 18, 2023. Happy Father's Day. What is it, 5:41 p.m. Kind of sunny out there, and it's kind of, the room's a little warm. Windows are closed, but the room's a little warm, but I'm toughing it out for you people. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew, and if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Ooh. Not again. Hold on a second. All right. This is embarrassing. As I'm trying to kill for time, I'm trying to find the battery for this. A new battery. Cause, you know what? I'll tough it out. My headphones are... Oh, there you go. Found the batteries. Okay. So, kids, you don't need to know this. A little detail about this podcast is I like to record with nice, beautiful noise-canceling headphones. And the problem about these noise-canceling headphones is they require batteries. Now, if I had, like, a better budget, and by better budget, I mean an actual budget, and some revenue, I would get a battery for every new episode. But instead, I gotta wait for it to die in the middle of a recording. I'll tell you all about it. But since the battery seems to be holding on, I'm going to hold on to this next battery. This is how poor we are as a podcast. I say we, I mean I am as a podcast. Now, granted, it's my fault for not putting out, I'm not helping the situation by not offering a place for you to donate to the show, but I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. This is growing. All right. Okay, so those unfamiliar, this podcast is broken down into three segments. The intro, second one is called using random thoughts. And last is final thoughts. I need some sexier titles to break those three categories out. But yeah, in the intro, I just like to do just a little, you know, house cleaning. On the Kevin on Stage podcast, he would call this section the church announcement. Me, I do shit like, I mentioned today is June 18th, and things, dates worth remembering around June 18th. For example, happy birthday, Kendrick Lamar. His birthday is on June 17th. Homeboy was born in 87. That's kind of interesting. But then again, you probably knew that if you're a fan of his, because he's got a line when he says, you probably knew this if you heard my last episode titled 87, My Granddaddy's a Legend, which was a play from his verse where he says, I was born in 87, my granddaddy's a legend. Who else? Oh, yes, another reminder that happy birthday to Tupac, June 16, 1971. If Tupac was Christ, yesterday would have been Christmas. I mean, before yesterday would have been Christmas. And today's Boxing Day. Correction. Today would still be a holiday. That's not my point. June 16th was his birthday. He was born in 1971. And don't make me do the math. And I think he would have been 50... 50. Shout out to you people who could do the math in their head. 2023. That means he would have been 62. Yeah. Carry the 1. 12, 7. Wait, is that a 7 or? Yeah, that's a 6. No, that's a 5. Oh. I'm embarrassed. You know what it is? Okay, I got anxiety because I'm performing. I'm speaking. I'm picturing an audience laughing at my ass because I can't figure out how old Pac would have been if he was still alive. And the answer is he would be... yeah, 62. That's what I said. What do I feel like that's wrong? All right, now I'm going to cheat. 2023 minus 1971. It's 52. Oh, my God. Holy shit. Okay. All right. Yes. It's the carry. You know what? Okay. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm really not making good first impressions on you new listeners. But again, this is my podcast. All right. And hold on. This is my reminder over here.
I am your king now.
Yeah. So, yeah. Deal with it. Another happy birthday to be put out is Ice Cube, June 15, 1969. Now, when I talk about Ice Cube, I know I should respect him as the human being, O'Shea Jackson. But I'm talking about Ice Cube, Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted, till the Ice Cube who made the rap albums that I like. There we go. I'm talking about that guy. Not the Ice Cube who fucking wanted to sign some Green New Deal with Trump. Don't bring up politics. Happy birthday, O'Shea Jackson, all right? Leave it at that. What else? Oh, okay. Now, this is not a birthday, but we also remember June 17, 2015 was it death anniversary, or we remember the Charleston church shooting. And I won't go into the details about it. Like the habit when you're talking about Charleston church shooting is to focus on the fucking the piece of shit human waste feces who killed these church congregation. But no, instead I'm gonna remember. I choose to remember the victims. And yeah, okay, that's right here. Yeah, name is. Actually, I just had it. The tweet that reminded me of this is from Bernice. There we go. Bernice King, the daughter of Martin Luther King. And yeah, she listed out the name. 8 years ago, we remember Ethel Lance, Reverend D. Payne Middleton, Dr. Tiwanza Sanders, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, Cynthia Graham Hurd, Susie Jackson, Daniel Simmons, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, Myra Thompson. Damn. Yeah. I don't know, man. They're just human beings, man. They're just like, you know, I talk shit about the church, but regardless about my shit, you know, talking shit about the church, I've never gotten to a point where I've wished the death of a church member. Look, okay, this is just my way of saying this. Yeah, it's tragic, man. Just saying their name out loud just brought up something inside me, and it's like, it's beyond sad, man. It's beyond sad. I'm thinking about, it reminded me of when I was at my dad's church and a new white person would come in and how we'd always embrace him. Our focus, for me, I know I feel myself, is for them to not feel like we would feel, us black folks would feel if we were in a white church, or you're all friendly and you try to show them the, what do they call it? The love of Jesus. And it breaks my heart that these guys saw complete strangers, went about their business. Some of them were probably thinking about, oh man, I can't wait for church to be over. Whatever goes through their mind. Or I'm in a great set, and they noticed this white boy in this church, and they probably felt the need to, hey man, no, you're in good hands, man. You don't have to worry about us. Fuck. Only to find out that they needed to worry about him. You know? Anyways. All right. So moving along, I'm going to explain the title in final thoughts, but one consideration I did have was to make a verse from the track Pots of Liquor by Tupac the title. But instead, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do two things. A, I'm going to pour out some liquor for Tupac and everyone that's gone, the fallen, who are no longer with us. And, I think it's some libation, right? But because I'm in an office and I have a carpet, I ain't trying to dirty my carpet. So what I'm going to do is I have two shot glass. I'm going to pour some Tennessee whiskey, Jack Daniels, one for myself and one for the fallen. Those who ain't no longer with us, all right? And of course, I will just drink one of them for myself. And, to those who are no longer with us, cheers. God damn! Woo! Oh, my God! Hey! Woo! Hey! I usually sip this shit. Oh my God. Whoo. Never do that again. Oh man. Man said, ooh. Sorry, kids. Don't do this shit home. You know, what do they say? Oh my God. Don't try this shit at home, man. I'm a professional. All right. Woo. Got some hair on my chest. Ça fait bien. See, ça fait bien. Boom. Piff. See, boom. All right. Okay. Focus, B. Now, I'm going to end this segment, this intro segment, by playing a clip that I found on TikTok by content creator Tony Nagy. And she's a content creator who shares wisdom, shares some smart shit, some food for thoughts, inspirational shit, while doing interpretive dancing. And this one is one of those messages. I felt inspired by this one because it's one of those messages that I meant to put this in the comment section, but I'm saying it here. It's one of those messages that's broadcasted at a specific frequency. And the people like me who have the right frequency to process, to hear her message, will be grateful for it. Will be grateful to her for that message. Everyone else won't get it. I'll go above their heads, and they'll probably clown her for it, right? And I'm just saying, I'm sharing it because I'm grateful for this message, and I'm saying thank you, and I feel like she reminded me of the kind of content that I'm creating. So I'm going to play it, and then right along, we'll switch to news and random thoughts, and I'll share my thoughts about, well, actually, I just shared my thoughts about it. So, initially, I was supposed to, I forgot that I was supposed to play the message and then drink. Then you wouldn't have heard me, you know, processing alcohol. But all right, okay, I'm going to play it, and then hope it reaches you the same way it reached me. All right, so here we go. Oh, right, here we go.
Cringe. Cringe.
Cringe.
Do you fear cringe?
I don't want to be cringe.
Do you think that your fear of being cringy ever holds you back? Oh my God, that is so cringe. When we worry too much about people's reaction to our art, then we often find ourselves self-censoring. Oh, I can't do that. What will people think? But if you want to be an artist or a creator of some sort, you're gonna have to put yourself through the process of trying things you've never tried before, which is very cringy. You have to go through the birth canal of cringe in order to try something new and innovative. It's really hard to get better at anything without putting yourself out there.
Okay, I'm gonna stop it here. Because it helps if you look at the interpretive dancing, because I get the feeling when she created this content, it wasn't just meant to be heard, but also seen. And, but everything she said is so true. But anyways, all right, so let's jump to news and random thoughts. And of course, like usual, the links to everything that I play, especially this content, is in the show notes, or in the show notes, all right? You're welcome. By the way, I took a second shot, and whoa, life feels a lot better. I feel better about life and recording today. So, let's do this. Bump, bump, yeah, all right. Use a random thought, yes. The reason why I'm grateful for this message, everything she said, it's like, as content creators, like creative people, especially because, you know, like, what's her name? Erykah Badu says, keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. And just to give you an example, at the same time as I talk about Tony Nagy and all you content creators out there who just inspire the rest of us to step up our game or just to get out there and fuck the haters. Despite the haters telling you not to, I want to, hold on a second. Whoa! Oh, there was a demon in there. Jesus Christ. Jack Daniel. Did you know a black man was responsible for or helped out Jack Daniels in creating this whiskey and the ingredient? I mean, I may have covered that during Black History Month, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, we'll talk about whiskey later. Right. Focus, B-Black. Yes, I want to send a shout out to, excuse me, Sun Michaud. If I pronounced it in French, that's good. Sun, yeah, Michaud. And only because he has no idea, because he retweeted something, like a response I gave to one of his posts. And basically he liked it. He even commented about it. And it was a big deal for me. He didn't realize it's because I, let me back up, right? I'm not mad. I'm not upset, but I don't deny the fact that this is not a popular podcast at the moment. I'm going for a journey. I'm figuring this thing out, but I don't lie to myself that I'm not a known content creator out there. I'm still getting my name out there, slowly but surely figuring things out. But every once in a while, I'll have these moments. Hold on. Woo! So I gotta drink this water. The alcohol fucked up my throat. Right, okay. Every once in a while, I'll think about other content creators who I hate. I'm talking about the haters. I'm talking about the like there's one in particular that comes to mind. He used to post video of himself on Facebook and just saying hateful, ignorant shit. And I've always wondered, I said, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I used to take the fact that he had no followers, no likes on his posts as a sign that, you know what, that's why you ain't, your message sucked, that's why you ain't got any followers. But I won't lie, and this is probably the sensitivity in me, this is the whatever, it's anytime I insult someone, the first instinct I have is to wonder, wait, what makes me better than that person? It's an automatic trigger that I have in my mind. It prevents me from, I tell myself, it prevents me from being an asshole. Anyway, long story short, I have my moments where I'm like, damn, what makes me any different from that asshole? From that dude who's online spreading ignorance, talking against the immigrants, gay, whatever. Like, I'm sure for him, he thinks he's saying, I'm just trying to get myself canceled. I mean, he's like one of those type of comedians, right? But just saying unpopular shit and then gets on comments on the comment section. It's funny. Yes, this is what we have in common. He'll go on comment section and he'll troll, saying some shit that some bullshit, some troll shit and ignorant shit. And, you know, oh, by the way, check out my podcast. So I had a moment where I'm like, what makes me any different than people like him? Because there's a lot of us out there with podcasts that aren't popular. And I guess my therapist reminded me that trust your journey. You're in that journey. Whatever. You're in a journey, right? You're not popular now, but this too shall pass. To trust your content, like Homegirl was saying about cringe idiot. Trust your content. Trust your artistry. Trust all that shit, right? And so to have someone like Sunim Cho like something that I said, I take it as a sign of maybe I am on the right path. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. Look, I got many episodes. I have many opportunities to disappoint that brother, but I'm or people like him. But I'm saying my point is, for me, it's exactly. I look for small hints. Small. I'm not looking for big. I'm not looking for spectators at the moment. I look for small hints. If I have someone show up to me and say, "Hey, I connected to what you're saying," that's good enough for me. That's enough to let me know that I have no idea where I'm going. I just know that I'm following the North Star. And the fact that the more I walk, the colder it gets, just tells me I'm going the right way. I must be heading to Canada. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, holy shit, this is a final thought kind of concept. But all this to say, shout out to Sunim Cho. And when I told him that, I responded and I said, it means a lot coming from you. That's what I meant. It means, it tells me that maybe I'm not, stop comparing myself to shitty people. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. All right. Thoughts about, I already said it. Next on my rundown sheet is thoughts about Tony Nagy. My interpretive dance about cringe. I recommend you go watch it for yourself. And especially if you're a content creator in my boat, trying to say, fuck, why me? What makes me so special? What makes me think that the content I'm creating is worthwhile, especially considering no one's listening to it or consuming it at the moment? The journey, man. It's a fucking journey. All right. Yeah, I'm trying to love the journey. That's what it's about. All right, is this too loud? Okay, next on the rundown sheet. Dream Hampton told Tupac he couldn't rap. Jesus Christ. That article, that piece of... Okay, let me change screen. Yeah, this information hit me like a ton of bricks. Now, Dream Hampton is a journalist. She is... hold on a second. Dream Hampton is American... filmmaker, producer, and writer. Her work includes the 2019 Lifetime documentary series of, oh my God, Surviving R. Kelly. I just knew her as someone I followed on Twitter and all these black folks respected. All the black folks that I respected. That's, yeah. Anyway, so I'm not sure of the full context to that conversation. I'm sure she was just being honest in her words, but it does remind me. But yeah, apparently when Tupac was alive, in the early days, according to this piece, Dread Hampton admitted to saying that, yeah, homeboy, you can't rap. Now, my first instinct was to get mad as a Tupac stan, was to be like, okay, where's her home address? We driving now. How dare you you disrespect the prophet who died for my sins? You know what I mean? It's real out here. Anyway, but then it hit me. I remembered when Tupac came out, his first track was, the first track that I discovered by him was, oh my God, Trapped. They got me trapped in this prison of seclusion. Happiness, living on the street is a delusion. Even a criminal was dead. Okay, actually, it was All Around the World, same song. But yeah, but no. Trap, I remember seeing the video. I was hypnotized. It was words. And I remember my good friend was there while I was listening. I'm like, who is this guy? It was love at first hear. I remember during the Tupac days, he was an unpopular rapper. He was, I think back in those days, it was very common for rapper, like technical rappers, to be like, several, like Tresh from Naughty by Nature. Several, like, jam a whole bunch of syllable in one beat. You know, like Dos Effect does. Like back in those days, rhyming was a bit more complicated. Tupac's rhyming skills were, not skills, but his rhymes were a bit more simpler. What was powerful about him to people like me were his words, though. His word selection, the topic, the shit that he, yeah, the things he would do. Oh my God, If My Homie Calls. It's a track about his best friend. Like, he rapped about shit that other rappers didn't talk about. Brenda's Got a Baby. Trap was a track that, even though I didn't live his life, I didn't live in his world, I related to those words. Feeling trapped, because back then I was highly sensitive and had this habit of taking things in, not expressing myself, being what everyone else wanted me to be, and just letting things boil inside. Like, it was to a point, I still remember having memories of being like, I kind of understand mass shooters. Being like that. Like, I never said that out loud, but I remember believing that, oh, in this world, how do you not turn into a mass shooter? Because I didn't have the ability to basically, I felt trapped, and the words by Pac reached me. Remember I was talking about, art content or words that are broadcast at a specific frequency and probably made for a specific group of human beings? Well, all this, Tupac made those kind of rhymes. Because I remember being surrounded by people who were like, Tupac, oh, I hate his voice. Why does he got to rap over it? Like, shit that I didn't even think about. He ain't no Jay-Z. He ain't no Nas. He ain't no whatever. Like, rhyme styles, I get it. In a competition, sure, he would lose. But in terms of content, in terms of being a rapper slash poet, Pac destroyed all of them, man. He made us feel like we were seen. Well, he made me feel like I was seen. Like someone, like especially when his rage, when he talked about the punk police will never find peace till the niggas get a piece. Fuck them. all this to say, I'm grateful Pac didn't take that to heart, that he didn't let, I'm going to assume Dream Hampton was like a big time journalist at the time. Someone who, if they told you, yeah, your demo sucks, is the kind of person that, okay, well, looks like I go back into painting. Looks like I go back into working for the government, you know, whatever. She's the kind of person that you would listen to. I'm glad that he chose to listen to his own voice. Because now he's a legend. He's a legend. He died a legend. Like, the Dream Hamptons of the world. Like, again, I don't have context to that conversation. Maybe she was trying to say that, yeah, your rhyming style is not like the others. All this I know is because I grew up in a conservative environment and I've gotten so used to I've always been the creative type. I got one. My conversation with my barber, and he was talking about how he spoke at his aunt's funeral, and he started out with something really wild. He just said a wild statement. It was a kind of wild statement that his cousins talked him out of. He said, "You can't talk about that shit at a funeral. Come on, man." And the point to his speech was just, this is the kind of conversation me and my aunt would have. And he was honoring, this is the version of my aunt that I knew. And hearing him say that, it just reminded me of, oh wow, I'm going overtime. Sorry. It just reminded me of how I grew up. My dad was a pastor, and he didn't know this, but I've always wanted to speak in front of an audience. I just didn't want to be a pastor about it. And the few times I would ask him for some tips about public speaking, he didn't know how to explain how to let me be the kind of public speaker I wanted to be. He was like, if you want to be a public speaker, you got to do it exactly like I do. Like, the exact same way I understand it. I guess this is more of a shot at the conservative types. The people who can't see outside of, who only know what they know. And you know what? This is just a long journey just to say that I'm grateful Pac listened to his own voice. And I hope that I grow up to be that kind of human being. Yes, I'm an adult, but who could trust his own voice when the voices on the outside, they're saying, yeah, this shit sucks. Or your shit is cringe. Shut the fuck up. There you have it. I'm going to confess something. I didn't feel like podcasting today. I wasn't inspired until I started creating. Usually when I podcast, I have everything I want to talk about ready the day before. And today, it was right before I hit record. But here we are. All right, next item on the rundown sheet. I said Black Mirror is back. I'm just going to leave it at that. Black Mirror is on Netflix. And I'm grateful for their new six episode. So I'm pacing myself. I seen the first two episodes, enjoyed it. Still Black Mirror styled. And Black Mirror is back. The new episode of Black Mirror are out. No comments. Except that I'm pacing myself. I mentioned that today's Father's Day. Father's Day is one of those days that I hate being on social media. But I'll save that for final thoughts. But what I will share with you is, I forgot to put the link in here, but I'll put it right now, is the reason I talk about Father's Day is because someone I follow on Twitter not only reminded me, but had a playlist for some great rap tracks about being a father, or about fatherhood. Jay-Z, Kanye West, New Day. But my favorite one on the list is Nas' Daughters. To my brothers with daughters. I'm lend it to my unborn. Anyway, whatever. That's going to be on the show notes. It's labeled Father's Day Playlist. Yeah, but more thoughts to follow on Father's Day in Final Thoughts. Okay. Okay. Last episode, I talked about how at my last session, I cried at... I'm tempted to do an entire episode about crying as a man. Crying like a man. And... But with that said, I'm going to share a clip that I found on Reddit of Mike Tyson breaking down into tears. And I'm just going to play it and let you hear it like I heard it. So here we go.
Get my gun, automatic, just like this, and you just go crazy.
Hold on a second. I'm going to rewind from the beginning.
This is my best thinking at the time. Get my gun, automatic, just like this, and you just go crazy.
Who are you gonna hurt?
Regardless, that's just my first thought. But when I went to the hospital, the people that were there, they're up there because their kids are dead too, mm-hmm. or about to die. Mm-hmm. So. Who the hell am I? They're dying too.
Hang in there, Mike.
I don't know. No. It's something happened that day. I don't know what happened that day.
But whatever happened that day, was there a new Mike Tyson that came the next day?
No, I did some cocaine for a week. I had to get high. I had to back then. I had to get high. I couldn't handle it at all. You have to go. No, you understand, right? Thank you. Thank you, man. You want to take this stuff off?
Look, man, you have to go. And he walks away.
You okay?
It's okay.
Sir, Mike, I'm really sorry you're going through this.
Okay. What he says now?
I'm sorry if we brought up.
It's okay. I gotta grow up. It's tough. Gotta be a man. Stop crying.
You're allowed to cry, Mike.
Damn. That pretty much summarizes my last therapy session. Okay. How dare do I compare myself to the great Mike Tyson? Nah, I'm just saying. I remember having a conversation with my therapist, and it's not that I forget the words, it's I just don't want to bring it up here, because you know what, this is probably why I didn't want to podcast today, because I'm kind of repressing the whys of why I cried, and I guess I just wanted to talk about that. But anyway, talking to my therapist, I said something. And I remember noticing the difference, unlike Mike, noticing that, oh shit, the urge to cry is nearby. And I've been here before with my therapist, and she's like, yo, better that you cry here than out there, outside, meaning on your own. Because on my own, I'll beat myself up for it. And it hit me, I'm like, yo, all the money I spent on this therapy session, might as well, fuck. Make this place for tears. Anyway, so I got curious. I'm like, what the fuck would I be emotional? All I said was A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And it triggered some emotion. And she was saying the right things, man. She was, holy shit, she was coaching me for my fucking tears. Probably the most important part in there is when she said, it's like, I was looking, in my mind, tears, if you don't have a valid reason for crying, then you can't cry. That's the rule. That's the operating system. If you don't have a valid reason, so because I couldn't understand where these tears were coming from, I was stopping myself from crying. And she kept saying, nah, just go for it. Just keep going for it. And then the tears came out while the dam was still up. Yeah, I'm scared that I'll cry and then it won't stop. It'll flood, you know, all my future podcasts is just me crying. And that's the fear. But the beauty in there, my favorite part, is when homie told Tyson, it's okay to cry. Is that the words he said? He said it's okay to cry. No, he said the actual words were, hold on.
Get my gun. Automatic.
Gotta
be a man. Stop crying.
Gotta be a man.
You're allowed to cry, Mike.
You're allowed to cry, yes. And the thing is, one of those situations where I know I'm allowed to cry, but my brain can't get myself to believe it. Like, it's easier for me to believe in a white boy who walked on water and died for my sins than it is for me to believe that I'm allowed to cry. You know what I mean? Anyways, that clip was just got me. It's not the fact that Big Mike Tyson is crying. No, it's more I'm thinking about how all us men, we've just been raised to be like, yeah, yeah, you ain't allowed to cry, man. Fuck crying. Crying ain't for you, man. And I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'd be a better person if I let them tears out. All right. What else do I have? Okay, I'm going to skip this one here. Actually, you didn't need to know because of time. But I will jump to, since I was talking about Jack Daniels, this article, black-owned whiskey Okay, first I'm going to give credit to the content creator who shared this link with me. It goes, black-owned whiskey brand Uncle nearest hits 100 million in sales. In quotation, they expected us to fail. All right, so I'm going to let my AI bot read this article because I haven't read it yet and see what it says. But only to say that, yes, I'm endorsing this black liquor. I just got into drinking whiskey. Whiskey, bourbon, the high-end stuff. One of my white friends put me onto that shit. And to find out that there's one that's ran, owned by a black woman? Shit, that's on my Christmas list. That's on my shopping. That's on my wish list. So here we go. Black-owned whiskey brand Uncle. And at the same time, I'm going to Google it. So here we go. The brand.
Black-owned whiskey brand Uncle nearest hits $100 million in sales, they expected us to fail. 'Tis the season to be jolly means different things for different people, but one common denominator in bringing in Christmas joy is seasonal cocktails and spirits. From eggnog to cranberry-infused drinks, the option for a holiday beverage is endless. Building the base for these drinks starts with solid liquor, and black-owned whiskey brand Uncle nearest's latest revenue mark proves it is a possible choice for all to enjoy.
Okay, quick note, this article was written, published on December 7th, 2022. So I guess Christmas was around the corner. I know it's June and it's kind of early to think about Christmas, but here we go.
Building the base for these drinks starts with solid liquor, and black-owned whiskey brand Uncle Nearest's latest revenue mark proves it is a possible choice for all to enjoy. Via Giphy. According to a press release, Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey announced that its sales exceeded $100 million through October 2022. To reach this and every other milestone on our horizon, we continue to push nonstop. Every penny this company has earned has gone back into the business, as well as to put Nearest Green's college-age descendants through college and to invest in minority-owned businesses and entrepreneurs through our Black Business Booster Program, BBB. The Nearest and Jack Advancement Initiative, NJAI, and Uncle Nearest Ventures, CEO Fawn Weaver explained. The brand was founded in 2017 with executive connections to Victoria Edie Butler, the great-great-granddaughter of Nearest Green, the company's namesake. Oh, wow. For the longest time, folks were sitting around waiting for us to fail. First, they underestimated us, then, they expected us to fail. I guess they do that with independent companies owned by women or people of color. Well, more than 5 years into this level of growth, y'all can stop waiting. We are not a fad or some trendy brand. We are a purpose-driven, mission-oriented company. Uncle Nearest and Nearest Green Distillery aren't just here to stay but to grow and sustain at a pace never seen before in our industry, Butler said. Uncle Nearest Premium Whiskey has 7 different offerings at its Shelbyville, Tennessee, distillery, which expanded and opened on Juneteenth in 2021. Additionally, Black Friday 2022 marked the release of the brand's anticipated single-barrel black label. The result? It sold out immediately, according to the press release. As for what's next, Uncle Nearest is projected to double its sales by 2023. Lover of culture. Curator of motivation. Advocate for equity. Josh Roger.
Oh, sorry. Josh Roger. They're talking about Josh Roger. Sorry. I got distracted. I make my own self laugh. Okay. So the whiskey name is called Uncle Nearest. 1856 premium age Tennessee whiskey, right? And I got distracted at the fact that it's not available in my city. Surprise, surprise. I'm used to it. But it is available all the way in blood clot fucking Toronto. God damn it. I hate you. Yeah, man. Yeah, I hate Toronto. I hate going to Toronto. It's not you people. I just, part of being Canadian is hating Toronto. And if you're from Toronto and that hurts your feelings, I don't know what to tell you, man. Fucking enjoy your... Enjoy the shit that you have that we don't have, all right? Fuck. Enjoy the fact that Beyonce is coming to visit your city and not mine. So, yeah. But enjoy your privilege, motherfuckers. All right. So, let me check the SIQ. I'd be surprised if this racist ass... SIQ is like the liquor store in Quebec. This content is not for the public. Let's see. I'd be surprised if these racist ass French white folks had it in stock. No way they have it in stock. Uncle Dearest. Oh, you can buy alcohol online. What? Bumbleclot. Okay, in store. Oh, why? Okay, I should also mention this motherfucker's expensive. But support black business. Okay, add to cart. Let's see. Où est-ce que c'est disponible? Add to cart. No. You can buy liquor online? That's kind of fucked up. Okay, let me see. View product. Okay, you don't need to see this shit. Okay, maybe I should do this off my time. I sound like an alcoholic. Check quantities in store. Uncle Nearest. Vaudreuil. Oh, that's not too far. Oh, that's not too far. I know where Vaudreuil is. There's four available? Okay, looks like I'm taking a trip to Vaudreuil. Saint-Sauveur de la Gare. Saint-Eustache. Nope, not a... Pierrefonds. Boulevard Saint-Jean. Yeah, that's not... All right, okay. It's available in the province of Quebec, which... And, well, province of... locate me. Okay. Locate. Let's see if the locator will put... Yeah, Vaudreuil is the closest one. Four available. Damn. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop recording. I'm going to Vaudreuil to pick up this but $131.25. Whoo! Canadian currency, of course. I mean, hold on. Sorry. Shout out to the sisters for putting this out. Did I get a name? I don't remember catching a name. What's her name? This the season, Jolly. But my point is, black people make liquor. Make whiskey. I had no idea. And before you diss me for it, I'm from Ottawa. I grew up with white people. And sometimes I go to Toronto, Montreal, and I act shocked when I see a black bus driver. You know what I mean? I'm just saying I've been sheltered. Like, white supremacy kicked my ass. All right. Okay. What else is that? Okay. Last but not least on the show notes before we jump to final thoughts is a theory I just heard. This is, again, content creator. Again, I'm grateful for the content creator on TikTok more than the ones on Twitter. Sorry. And, you know, that's a bad way to say it. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to share a clip about a theory called the curb cut effect. Let's talk about it. And the content creator's name is, hold on, pause.
Some people believe that.
Pause. Content creator's name is, Shay Taintsu. Hold on a second. I hate mispronouncing. Oh, Shay. But Shay, it. Clever. Shay, it ain't so. My first language is French. Don't fuck with me. All right. Shay, it ain't so. And links in the show notes. All right. But I love what she just says about this. Look, it just meant.
Some people believe.
It's just meant to be food for thought. And then after this, we'll jump into final thoughts. So here we go.
Some people believe that society should not adjust or adapt to support the needs of a marginalized community if that community is a relatively small part of the population. This is the perfect opportunity to talk about a phenomenon called the curb cut effect. Curb cuts, those miniature ramps on sidewalks, were first built in California in the 1960s to address the needs of wheelchair users. They are now a universal sidewalk feature relied upon by people with strollers, bikes, scooters, carts, and more. The curb cut effect demonstrates that when we make changes to help a marginalized community, we as an entire society benefit. Closed captioning was created for those with hearing impairments and is now used by anyone in a noisy environment. Text-to-speech is useful for anyone with busy hands. Gender-neutral bathrooms are a godsend for anyone just seeking privacy. Inclusive family and parental leave policies benefit straight couples with unique caregiving situations. Steps we make to take care of the few positively impact the many.
Message!
Yep. I'm just, I'm at work. We're in a situation where we're hiring new people. And I'm trying to hint about, how about we focus on some marginalized folks? But I'm trying to do it in a way that doesn't sound like, oh, this motherfucker's trying to be woke, you know? Like indigenous or someone who, limited mobility, handicapable? That's a better word for expression. Whatever. Exactly. Because I don't have... look, yeah, I'm definitely looking for black folks, definitely. but it does help to have a work environment that is diverse and not the same old white dudes. Not that there's something, I mean, not that there's something wrong with white dudes, but I mean, I think for me is if you meet someone and they don't challenge your thinking, any motherfuckers wasted your time. I mean, yeah, sure, familiar is cool, but I'm just saying, I remember having someone, she was in a scooter, and having her around made me aware of shit of accessibility. But not just that. I'll speak for myself. As you notice, I use the AI bot to read my articles. That's because when I read, it's not that I have difficulty reading. I don't know if I have ADD, but it's like my brain can't seem to fucking focus. I don't know what it, I'm better at listening than I am at reading shit. And I remember bringing it up at some team meeting, and this lady who worked with diversity and inclusion, she says, "Yep, high five to us. We're the ones who made that shit happen." And it's, but I was thinking about the person who came forward and said, "You know what would help? What would make my fucking life easier? If there was like a, if some of my emails could be read to me, I depend on that feature. It's made me, oh my god." To her point, I'm agreeing with her point that, yo, I never looked at it that way. We usually look at helping marginalized people, helping people who don't have the same problem as us, as doing them a favor, when in reality, we all fucking benefit from it. All right. Now, finally, let's jump to final thoughts. Yeah. All right. Did I tell you I took a second shot of whiskey? I still have that unclaimed shot. Well, I'm not even thinking about it. That's for those who aren't here. And I'm feeling better about life. Feeling a little better about life. I don't know if that's turning me into an alcoholic, but things are better. All right. Okay. Wanting what you can't have. Final thoughts. Yes. I just remembered that I went into explaining how I cried at my last therapy session. And so here's the thing about my brain is it has to figure out why. It can't let go of the why reason. So needless to say, I was obsessed with trying to understand why those tears came out. And I have a few theories as to why. Some of them I'm not ready to share with you or share with another human being. But one of them that I am willing to share is I remember feeling a sense of where the line between there's hope and hopelessness, where the line that separates hope and hopelessness being right in that middle, but falling towards more towards hopelessness. I remember that the feeling that led to those tears was the feeling of hopelessness. And being accustomed, I feel like I've gone through life, have gotten used to or normalized the feeling of wanting shit that you'll never have. Whether it's lusting over some girl in a, some naked girl in a Playboy magazine, or having a crush on a lesbian, lusting after some, okay, this is a bad example. There was this time where I was pursuing this one woman who only liked me as a friend. And I remember not understanding that. Like in my mind, I wasn't hearing what she was saying. In my mind, I just thought she was playing hard to get. But I had no idea that my quest to be her lover was in vain. Like, the only honest person in that, between me and her was her. When she said, "Yo, dude, as far as I'm concerned, you're straight friendship." In my mind, what I'm saying is, it just reaffirmed the idea of, like, after it finally hit me that, oh, you were serious. You're not playing hard to get. But I remember after that moment, it reinforced the idea that you weren't meant to get. You were meant to desire shit that you will never get. It's like engraved in my mind. There's a episode of, holy shit, it's not making sense. It's funny how I write this shit down and have no idea where it's going. And once I start talking about it, I start to understand it. There's an episode of Law and Order. By the way, I'm addicted to Law and Order. I don't believe it, but yeah, deal with it. I'm just as shocked as you are. An episode of Law and Order, right? And where, I won't go into the deep, like, you know, this is where I say name of actors and whatever, but it's where I'm going to focus on the storyline that got me. was I high when I watched it? Doesn't matter, whatever, right? But it's a one of the main characters, his father came back into his life, but needed a favor from him. But the thing is, his relationship with his father is like rocky. It wasn't, you know, normal. It's not healthy. I remember what he said, when he sees his father show up, he says, yeah, that's my dad. And he says, yo, motherfucker, I haven't seen you in 15 years. I guess they hadn't talked in a while, whatever, right? And the favor that the father wanted from his son was to, hey, since you're a cop, I committed a crime, and I need you to help me make it disappear. And it just showed part of why there was a friction between, in French, briseur. There was a rupture in their relationship, because the son became a cop, law-abiding cop, and the father still resulted into scamming people, using using people to, basically, they became two opposite kind of human beings. They were still father and son, but personality-wise, core human being-wise, they were like, yo, I'm a cop, and you're a crook. They were opposites. I remember that scene, because at the end, the father finally realized that, oh, shit. He finally was able to see that, okay, you stand up to your dad. You're not being an asshole. This is who you are. And I guess it was both beautiful, it was both beautiful and sad at the same time, kind of like hopeless and hopeful, like that same paradox or contradiction. Like, I remember, that's how I felt. Like, I wasn't near tears, but I remember looking at that cut. What got me about it was, it's like the father finally recognized that, okay, my son's a punk-ass bitch, whatever. I can't manipulate him to do... The father used all his tricks on his son to get him to bend the law for him, and it didn't work. He even dropped the, yo, fuck, you gonna let your dad out to dry? Like, that kind of... He even got family against him, and the son held out. The character held out. And that's at the end. That's the part that got me. That's the part... That's why I was asking if I was high, because I remember... really reflecting on that moment. The father was trying to say, look, I get it. It's like on one end he says, dude, I still love you. I still want you in my... I still wish we were playing baseball thing. I still wish we had a father-son relationship everyone had. But he can't get himself to change or make adjustments to his personality. It's... He wants a son in his life, but it's not going to happen as long as he continues to be who he is. I was just looking at it. It had me thinking about, is that what some of us are just cursed to be like that? It's kind of like the father realized, I ain't changing. I think that's part of the beauty in there. He goes, oh, fuck, this motherfucker's as stubborn as I am. Him changing is as like it as me changing. So at the result, we're two opposites. And it just had me thinking about this notion of shit you want, but can't have. Shit you say you want, but your actions say differently. All this to say that had me thinking about the relationship I have with my dad. We're at the situation, you know, I'm an adult now, and I'm no longer letting him tell me who I should be. I'm trying to be my own person, and I don't. And that it breaks my heart. He doesn't get it. My dad's not a crook. He's not a bad person. I swear. You know, everyone in the community who knows him as a good person. But in terms of father and son relationship, there's things about me that. I don't think he'll be ready. There's things about me that he won't be able to accept, like the fact that I'm done with church. He's so, like, to him, church is like everything. What the fuck you mean? Holy shit. What? You don't like Jesus? Then I failed as a father. Like, sometimes I wonder if we would get along if I could finally just tell him, dude, I ain't trying to hear that Jesus shit anymore. The relationship I used to have with my parents, not just with my father, my parents, all my family, essentially is, who do you want me to be? And that's who I'll be. So essentially, I figured out, what would it take for us to be at peace? Oh, okay, you need me to be passive. You need to not speak up. You need me to like what you like. That's how I, in my mind, that's how relationship was. Is basically, don't take any fucking space. Let space is for others. Now I'm this person who's like trying to take up space. I hate who I used to be. And yeah, I still haven't figured out how to be the person I want to be and be my father's son at the same time, or my mother's son. Like, there's a lot of relatives I haven't spoken to because they don't realize the version of me they like was just a fake version, was just accommodating version, and I don't want to be that anymore. All this to say, this you know, it complicates Father's Day for me. It's because there's no hatred or whatever, but him and I aren't playing baseball anymore. Aren't playing baseball. Or part of why I was also pouring out some liquor today is because my therapist has me on this concept of grieving the parents. Learn to grieve the parents that you wish you had. Like, accepting that the universe didn't set you up with, I was going to say Bill Cosby, but I mean, think of the perfect dad, the great dad, Obama, you know, we don't even know his life. But I mean, people who you look at and you say, yeah, I wish that was my dad, or whatever. Yeah, I don't have that. My relationship with my pops is kind of complicated. We don't, still love. It's all love and everything like that. But it's not like, hey, let's throw a baseball together. Pops, how do you pick up chicks? You know what I mean? It's not shit like that. It's not, it's nothing like that. I don't have that kind of, I have a relationship. I just don't have the kind of relationship that you would make a TV show about. That warms the strings, shit like that there. Yeah, it just reminded me. Anyways, yeah, so all this to say, I'm thinking of what it must be like. Because I can tell he's trying to fix things. He's trying to make it happen. But at the same time, like I can tell on my father's side that he wishes that, in his mind, he's like, what the fuck is this kid's problem? I did everything I was supposed to do. What is, he thinks that I'm going through, like I'm depressed or some shit like that. But he has no idea, or it's not that he has no idea, he can't understand that it's not a depression thing. It's, I'm growing into a human being that doesn't make sense to you. That won't make sense to you, that you can't understand, that you can't accept. That you'll have difficulty accepting. On my end, I'm like, yes, I would love to have like father-son relationship. But on the other end is, I'm trying to be who I want to be. I don't want to be this old version of me anymore. And if the only way we can get along, the only way we can laugh, crack, and spend time together is by me being that version, then that's a problem for me. You know, this is those conversations. See, what's complicated about this, difficult about this, what I'm telling is, I'm so used to explaining this shit to people who don't understand. I'm so used to on broadcasting this message to people who it goes above their heads. And the first thing they want to do is problem solve. Oh, baby, have you tried playing baseball? Have you tried reading the Bible? Have you tried going to the strip club together? Have you tried drinking liquor together? You know what I mean? It's like they like, no, come on, you're supposed to get along. Like, can't understand what I'm talking about. And the thing is, there's a lot of people out there, I just found out, I just discovered, who don't have, like, great relationships with their parents. It's not a hatred thing. they love him. But in terms of being able to like spend more than 5 minutes together, it's not going to happen. Excuse me. More than 5 minutes together without getting into an argument, without getting into a fight, without someone feeling drained, without a peaceful bonding. Yeah, some people, there's a lot of people on this planet, and it ain't like that. Hollywood ain't projecting that message. There are people healing from their relationship with their parents. And it's fucked up, as you don't want to tell them that because it'll hurt their feelings. But it's just, yeah, it is what it is, man. And this is what I'm getting at. I guess this is one of those kind of message. If you know, you know. If you can relate, you'll relate. If not, then you're just going to say some bullshit that I don't want to hear about. Hey, let's fix this, man. Come on, man. Family forever and shit like that. Nah, it's more complicated than that. Some of us, that's the cards we were dealt with. That's our situation. There. Damn, I said it. How I can't get along. Okay, I already said that. Yeah. So all this to say, getting back to part of what those tears were about, that hopelessness, hope and hopelessness, that wanting shit that, well, in my case, I don't believe I can have, or wanting things that I can't. Wanting things, my words say I want it, but my actions aren't saying it. That makes sense? I used to think that I wanted kids, I wanted a whole family. Excuse me. But my action ain't saying that shit. I ain't trying to meet, you know, trying to meet Mrs. Wright, trying to meet, partner up with another woman to have kids. Holy fuck, I could barely take care of myself. I've thought of all my past partnerships. And, it didn't work out too well, man. So, there's a lot of work there's a lot of work I need to put in for myself before I could be the ideal partner. But with that said, I'm going to leave it at that and just say, what's up with today's title? Nothing clever. There was nothing clever with today's title. Usually I link it with the rapper and whatever, but no, it's just every time I kept saying the word, every time I kept repeating the fact that this was episode 88, anytime I kept saying the word 88, the next line was time to get it straight. Time to set it straight, which is a line by Big Daddy Kane, the intro for Big Daddy Kane's Ain't No Half Steppin'. Now, this is usually the part that the theme, today's theme is Ain't No Half Steppin', but that's bitch bullshitting. Only reason I chose this title is because of a verse by Big Daddy Kane. And also, if you've noticed, I've been quoting a lot of Kendrick Lamar. So this is my way of saying, yes, I do know who Big Daddy Kane is. And I did grow up listening to Big Daddy Kane. All right. I was going to pour out. Okay, no, I already did the pour out some liquor. I'm not going to do that again, considering I already had two shots. But what I will say is in the track, Pour Out Some Liquor, I wasn't listening. There's a line that kept repeating, like it was like a cut. A cut, is that what you call it? Cut when the DJ plays like some verse in this. Anyways, there's a line Tupac kept saying in the track that I couldn't hear until now, and it says, "My cousin died last year, and I still can't let go." He repeats that frequently in the track. Pour Out Some Liquor. If you're new, good for you. If you're not, then I just recognize that. So with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Okay, you know what's going through my mind? I'm looking at that unconsumed. I'm looking at a full cup, a shooter glass filled with liquor, and I was about to drink it. I'm like, how you guys going to know? You guys ain't going to know the difference. And I don't feel right. All right, just for integrity, I'm not going to drink it. I feel like taking a picture. Hold on a second. But I will take another shot because I'm an alcoholic. Ooh, but Tennessee whiskey is dope. Not that I'm into whiskey, I learned to appreciate it. All right, so cheers. One last shot if you're doing one. Cheers to you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, especially if your father's not around to celebrate. So this glass for you too. And Tupac's birthday. All right. Cheers. Hi, Western Nemesis. Woo! Il y a de la douleur ici. Il y a de la douleur dans la poitrine. Ah, tabarnak! Calice! Woo! Ça fait du bien. OK. This concludes today's episode of... hold on. Control Z. it hurts, but it feels good at the same time. I wonder if this is what giving birth to a baby feels like. Oh, disrespectful. I'm sorry. Problematic. I'm sorry. Look, by men's standard, we don't tolerate a lot of pain, okay? But I'm just saying... How this pain, how I went from pain to pleasure. That's all. I'm just digging myself into a hole. So I'll shut the fuck up and say, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. If you want to holler at me, you can holler at me using Twitter while Elon Musk hasn't ran it to the ground using the @BBlizzak or @ShutUpPodcast handle. Or you can find me on TikTok @B.Black. Or my favorite place is find me on shutuppodcast.com on the website. And like I mentioned, go in the show notes to find the links to everything that was mentioned in this episode. It's usually, the links are in the show notes. If there's something that I mentioned that's not in the show notes, send me an email at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe to this podcast, go to the RSS feed or go to Google or Apple Podcasts. Yo, seriously, man. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for listening and want you to remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. Shit. Did I mention I'm feeling good? Three shots of liquor. I'm feeling good. All right, peace.
I am your king now!